Today we'll be going over Ephesians again. We'll continue our talk. And I'll be going over three verses in chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10. And 8, we pretty much covered it last week, so I'll go over it very briefly. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10. And I will open up this message in prayer. But Father, we're so glad once more, Lord, to be just gathered around in your holy and glorious name. We pray that as we're gathered here, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, you will nurture us, Lord, feed us. Just help us to understand, Father God, your holy and glorious word, what it means to our lives, how we need to apply it into our lives, and how we need to go minister to others, Father, who are still in darkness. We just want to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Amen. So last week we talked about verse 8, where Paul is instructing the Galatians about not participating in fruits of darkness. He says, you were formerly darkness. Now when Paul is saying this, he's saying that was your past. That was your past life. And he talked about not participating in the works of evil, in the deeds of evil. He says, have no participation in that. He wasn't saying, don't befriend unbelievers, because we need to do that. The only way to share the gospel with others is to go out there and engage passionately. So he didn't say, don't be kind, don't be nice, don't be any of that. He says, yes, go do that. We need to be able to approach others, to befriend them, to be kind, to be nice, to be friendly, to do all those things, because that's the only way we're going to engage the world out there. So Paul wasn't saying stay completely away from them. What he was saying was don't participate in deeds of darkness. Don't do those things. Avoid doing those things and associating with people who you know do those things. Keep yourself, in other words, keep yourself pure. Don't make yourself impure or immoral, but keep yourself impure. But Paul, this morning, he's talking about walking as children of light. So when we go to verse 8, it says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Well, what does that mean when Paul says, walk as children of light? Because Paul's instruction to the Ephesian believers who lived amid much immorality. Ephesus was a very dark place. There was sensual immorality all over. And Paul is telling the Ephesian believers that they need to conform to their new identity. And their new identity, Paul says, is this. It is light. So you are to be light in the midst of all that sensuality. You need to remain light. It's the same thing for us. We were formerly darkness, they were formerly darkness, but now we have this new identity, and Paul wants us to make sure we understand that we are light. We are light. And when you think about it, because it's very easy to look at our past, and when Paul says, you were darkness, well, yes, it's very easy for me to look at that and say, yes, I was. I was dark. Indeed, that was my sinful past. That was my old nature. I was dark. I believe that 100%, without doubt. That I was dark. But when Paul says, you are light, you kind of struggle with that sometimes, because all you see is the past and how bad you were and how you struggled day after day after day with sin. But Paul wants to remind the Ephesian believers and us, you are light. That is all part of your new nature, that we understand that and that we believe it, that we are light. We are children of light. We were once dark, but not anymore. You are now light. That is in your nature. That is the nature of God, the character of God. That was the life of Christ. That's what he emulated the entire time he walked on earth. And Paul says, so are you. If you are in Christ, you are light. He was the light of the world. He ascended back into heaven, and he remains the light of this world through who? Through you, through the church, through the one body. He remains the light. So we need to be light. And that's why it's so important that Paul told the Ephesian believers, in the midst of a kingdom of darkness, you, the church, this one body who dwelt together in Ephesus, this one body of Christ represented the kingdom of light. And it was a kingdom of light right there in the midst of a larger kingdom of darkness. And that's what we are. a kingdom of light, a people of light in the midst of much darkness. Much darkness. And Jesus prayed that when you go back to the priestly prayer in John 17, when Jesus prayed about that, he says, Father, I do not pray that you take him out of this world, but I pray that you leave him in this world and that you keep him from the evil one. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But Christ prays for us, and he continues to pray. He continues to be what? Our intercessor. He still prays the same thing, that that God keeps us from the evil one. But we are to remain here as what? As the light of the world. Because there is no other world, there's no other light in the world except the church, the one body. That is it. It is the only beacon of hope for humanity out there that is still in darkness, because there's nothing else out there. When you think about the church, it is the only institution that Christ blesses. That's it. The church. He doesn't bless governments or nations or kings or anything. No, he blessed the church. Before he ascended, he told Peter that you are Peter, the rock. And on this rock, in other words, on this rock, on this church, he says, on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is the only institution that Jesus says, this one institution, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the gates of hell will prevail against every other institution out there in the world. Because every other institution out there in the world belongs to Satan for all intents and purposes, but not the church. It was only the church, the one body that Jesus said against this body, against this church. And that was the first time Jesus ever used the word the church. He said, against the church, not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. So we are the light. We are the light of the world in Christ. Remember that. We are light in who? In Christ. Not outside of Christ, but only in Christ. In him, we are light. So Paul was reminding the Ephesian believers and us that in the midst of such darkness, in the midst of such immorality and such sensuality and all those things that are taking place in Ephesus, it says, be light. Be light. That is your nature now, to be light in a dark world. And light, if we know anything about light, we know this, that light has marked effect. It has a marked effect on those who receive it. Why? Because it reflects the character of God himself. It has a very marked effect. We can't live without light. If with Christians, we know this too, that we can't live without the light of God's word. We can't. We can't live without manna. We need all this. We need to be sustained. Bread sustains us. Light sustains us. So we know that light, it has a very marked effect on everyone who receives God's light. Everyone. And as being a people that receives God's light, we need to be able to radiate God's light. God's divine light. Because we are the light of the Lord. That is what we do. And here's the point. Are you comfortable in the light? Are you comfortable in the light? Or are you still more comfortable in the darkness? Because that is the whole point that Paul is trying to make here. So you're no longer in darkness, so you shouldn't be comfortable right there in the midst of darkness. If anything, you should be very, very uncomfortable. Especially if you are a saint who is participating in the unfruitful works of darkness. You should be very uncomfortable. That's not what Paul wants. What Paul wants for you is to feel right at home in the light of God. Just to be able to say to yourself, this is it. This is my place. Right here in the light of God, this is where I feel absolutely my best. Absolutely comfortable to be right here in the presence of God. That is what he wanted the Ephesian believers. That's what he wants of all believers. To be exceedingly comfortable right there amid all of God's light. All of God's light. But what does this mean in practice? Because he says that we should walk as children of light. But what does that mean in practice? Because he gives us the answer right here. What does it mean in practice? In our daily lives, what does it mean to be children of light? It will mean that our lives will shine with God's graces, God's supernatural graces, and he gives us his graces right here in verse 9. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And this is a good trilogy when you think about it. It's a good trilogy. The fruit of the light, it consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. A very, very good trilogy. That right there represents what? It represents the character of God himself. That's what it is. The character of God himself. It's a very good trilogy because when I think of that trilogy, I go back to Micah. Because it reminds me of Micah because in Micah, Micah the prophet gives us another very good trilogy. He says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And he has shown you what God requires of you. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. A very good trilogy of threes. To love justice, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk with God. So when he comes here and he says these things here again, another very good trilogy. Goodness, righteousness, and truth, representing the very nature of God himself. The very nature of God himself. So these are three supreme features, or fruit of our walk as children of life. All goodness, all righteousness, and all truth. A life shining brightly with the characteristics of the Father. That is the way to walk. So when God says, walk humbly with your God, you walk humbly with God, exemplifying all goodness, all righteousness, and all truth. A part of the new nature we have in Christ. So this verse, when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. It goes well with another verse we read months ago in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. What is the fruit of the Spirit? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, mercy, gentleness, self-control, all those things. And this right here, it just lines up perfectly with Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The very same thing. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. We should make no mistake. We spiritually grow only by saturating our lives with the light of God's word. That's the only way we grow. It's just like this. Every gardener, every person, every man or woman who's a gardener understands the influence of the sun. The influence of sunlight on plants or in vegetables. They know that those plants and vegetables, whatever it is they're growing, they know it needs a quality of a certain quality of light. It needs a certain duration of light, so much light. And then it needs a certain intensity of light, either direct sunlight or light from a shade. But it needs light. But a gardener knows that the light is very important if those plants or those vegetables are going to grow up healthily. Without the light, they know one thing. It's not going to grow. It's not going to work. It's the same thing with a Christian life. Without any light, we're not growing. If anything, we're kind of staying in the dark. So the whole point is not to be unhealthy Christians, but to be healthy Christians. It's like for example, a baby Christian. He becomes a Christian and he stays a baby Christian for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years, for 10 years. That little baby Christian stays a baby Christian. Well, we know what? We know that that's unhealthy. We know that if that was a real baby and the real baby stays a baby 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we know, okay, something's wrong. Because that baby should not be a baby after 5 years. The baby should be growing. Year after year after year. And it's no different to a Christian. Christians are meant to do what? Are meant to grow. And the light helps us to grow. Staying in the light of God's word, helps us to grow. Because we're all supposed to grow. We're all supposed to be healthy Christians, growing year after year after year. And we'll see more of this as we move on in Ephesians. Because the intent is not for any Christian to remain a baby Christian. No. That doesn't make for a very healthy Christian. Not at all. Not at all. Can you go to Romans chapter 13, verse 12? And here's Paul talking to the Romans. He says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. That's right there. That's an injunction. That's a command. Just like we're told earlier in Ephesians, walk as children of light. That is a command. That's Paul telling you, walk. This is how you are to walk, as children of light. We go right here, and Paul says the very same thing, another injunction, another command. Put aside the deeds of darkness, put them away. Put them aside, and put on the armor of light. Walk as children of light, having put on the armor of light. Put it on. You know, as I was reading and I was going back through some passages, and I came across Matthew. Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 17, but it's doing the transfiguration when Christ takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain, and it says that when he's up there, Jesus is transfigured, and Matthew says that his clothing became white as light. White as light. Because that is, in a sense, what happens to you. Christ, his clothing becomes as white as light. And here Paul says, put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in a few verses thereafter. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. He never told us to take him off, but put him on. Very important, this understanding that we believe that we are children of light, that we believe it, and that we go out there and we walk as children of light. Understanding it and believing it. So we go to the first distinguishing mark. When you go to verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness. 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 That makes it's the first distinguishing mark of this fruit, in all goodness. You see that word all goodness there? Because when I read that, it took me back to chapter 4, verse 31. Can you go to chapter 4, verse 31? It says, get rid of what? Get rid of all. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So in my Bible, it says, get rid of all bitterness, and it ends with this, get rid of all malice, get rid of all those things, get rid of all, get rid of it, dump it, let it go, put it aside. And then we come to this verse, we come back to verse 5, verse 9, and he says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness. It's almost a counter to what Paul said earlier about all malice. Put away all malice, put on all goodness and all righteousness and all truth. Replace all that was bad with all that is good. Because all that was bad was darkness and all that is good is light. So this is a complete transformation. Everything that represents darkness, that's even a hint of darkness, a shade of darkness, get rid of it all. And in putting on the light, put all of the light on. Everything. We're not to have some darkness on and some light on. No. It's one or the other. You either put on darkness or you put on light, but you can't put them both on. It's one or the other. But Paul says, put all goodness on. So it's a clash to what he said earlier in chapter 4:31. It's also a clash with what he said in chapter 5. He says there must be no immorality, no impurity, no greed, not even that. He said that shouldn't even be named among you. It's not even proper among saints. None of that should be part of your life. Not anymore. He says get rid of all sensual nonsense. Even Peter, remember from last week? Even he said the same thing. Your time as the Gentiles and carousing and all those things, it's done. Enough of that. Put it away. You've been there. Don't go there no more. You had your time in Egypt. Now leave Egypt. Don't go back. Just don't go back. And that's the whole point. So the first distinguishing mark of this fruit is all goodness. So the Greek term for this, for goodness, it's agathousine. Agathousine. It's kind of like, they'll say in Greek, agathousine, agathousine goodness. It's kind of like saying agape love. Because it's very, very similar. Agape love, agathousine goodness. Because it almost says the same thing, almost the same connotation. It refers to moral excellence, to being good in both nature and in your effectiveness. You're just good. Why? Because God is good. So it's a high moral excellence. And you're very effective in showing this goodness because God is very effective in showing his goodness. He's showing us goodness. And us, with this virtue, because it is a quality, a grace of God, this goodness that we have, it is his goodness, a supernatural activity that the Holy Spirit works into us. Why? So that we can work it out. Working out what God has worked in. That's what we do. So the first quality there is this goodness. Very much like agape. It finds its fullest and highest expression because it's willingly and sacrificially done for others. We want to do this willingly and sacrificially. Very much like agape love is something that we willfully want to do. And we sacrificially want to do it because we learned it from Christ. And because we learned it from Christ, we also want to do it. Why? Because earlier in Ephesians, Paul says this, therefore be imitators of God. And in being good and exemplifying goodness, we're doing just that. We're being imitators. We're mimicking our God, our Father. Why? Because he is light and so are we. We have his light in us. So everything about us is now about reflecting the holiness, the godliness, the righteousness, the goodness, the truth of God. A totally different people. That's why Paul, earlier in Ephesians, he says, you are a new humanity, a new creation. Something that wasn't before, it is now. Something special, the church, the bride of Christ. It never existed until Christ established it. And he did that through the apostles, through the prophets, through pastors, through teachers, to all those. He established his church, a new humanity, something vastly different. Goodness. Goodness signifies a goodness that comes directly from God. Can you go to 2 Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, please. And we get an example here. Paul now talking to the Thessalonica church. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Now the word there, good, may fulfill every good purpose. Goodness. It is the same word. Agathousine. Goodness. That God will do that. By his power, he, who? Not you, not me, but by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. This is from God. These qualities, these virtues, that's why Paul says, this is the fruit of the light, the fruit of the Spirit. This is of God. And he's working this through you, through me, through the church, through the one body. So we look at that and we should understand that. This is the quality of God, the grace of God. And then we go to the second, this is the second result. The second result of walking as children of light is this. As children of light, we walk in righteousness. We walk in righteousness. It's a second quality there. Consists in all goodness and righteousness. Righteousness. So the second result or fruit of our walk as children of light is righteousness. This one concerns what? Our relationship to God. Because you look at the first one where Paul talks about goodness. Goodness. Goodness, it relays how we interact with others. How we interact with others. God is good to us, and our goodness, we show it to others. We are good in our relationship to other people, whether they're people of the light or people of darkness, it makes no difference. We are to be good because Christ was good. He went and he associated with sinners, but he never became a sinner. Same thing with us. We have the goodness of God, and we take that goodness of God, and we take it out into a dark world, and we associate in a way that we don't compromise our faith. But we go out there and we engage the world. Engage the world passionately. Why? Because we're taking the good news of the gospel. We don't want to go there as a cruel, mean, hard-hearted people. No. Remember what he said in Ephesians in chapter 4? He said, be tender-hearted. Be kind one to another. Be forgiving, even as God forgave you. Go out there into the world like that. Just don't become like the world. Don't participate in their deeds. Be good. But now, when Paul says about righteousness, this concerns our relationship to God. To be righteous because he is righteous. Can you go to Romans chapter 4, verse 5? It says this, however, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteous. As righteous. Be righteous. Be right. Be good. Be right. You're good with man, and you're right with God. I know I can be good with man if I stay right with God. But if I'm not right with God, I know this, I'm probably not going to be right with man either. I'm probably not going to be good. But I'm good with man because I'm righteous in God. I'm righteous in Christ. I have good standing with God. And I should stay there. Can you go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, please? And be found in him. Be found in Christ. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Righteousness of God. Because we need that. Again, it is a quality, a grace, a virtue of God. Not of man, but of God himself. And finally, I go to Romans chapter 6, verse 13. It says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. That is how we're to live. Righteous. And when you read these passages, you know, it's just taking you away from everything that is dark and bringing you to the light, to everything of God that is righteous. Everything that is righteous of God. See, but Christ hasn't given us, Christ gave us his own nature. We didn't receive a strange nature, no. When you go to the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, John and Luke, and you read all those Gospels, and you go through the New Testament, and you see Christ, and you read of Christ, and you're taught in Christ, well, then you kind of recognize that his life, his nature was imparted directly to you. His nature is now your nature. You don't have a strange nature. You have his nature. What you see in him is what you have in you. His goodness and his righteousness. We should know that. Why? Because we learned Christ. We learned him. We didn't learn a stranger. We learned a friend. We learned a savior. We learned a redeemer. We learned someone who loves us. Someone who died for us. We learned him. We learned about Christ. And then because of this righteousness, because his righteous nature is now our righteous nature, and we need to work it out. So Paul says, you need to pursue it. Don't think it's just going to come naturally. No, he says, go after it. Pursue it. Seek it. Become more and more righteous. How do you do that? Well, you stay in the light. Stay in the light of God's word. Because you're not going to find it out there in darkness, out in the world. No, you're only going to find it right here in God's word. But he says, go get it. Go pursue it. Go after it. We kind of get that idea. Can you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, please? But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Go after these things. When you're in the dark, you went after the wrong thing because you were dark. You were dark, and maybe you weren't as dark as you think, but you were still dark, and you still went after things that you shouldn't have gone after. But now Paul says, don't go after those things no more. I say, run away from those things. Flee from all that and pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. You're not going to pursue that if you're never in the gospel, if you're never in the Bible, if you're never searching the scriptures. Because this is where we pursue. If we're going to pursue God, this is where we come to pursue him. Right here in his word. That's it. There's no other place other than in his word. We pursue him when we read the scriptures. We pursue him when we're in Bible studies. We pursue him when we're listening to sermons. But we do our pursuing. We're called to do that. We're called to go after God every single day. And the third fruit of the light is truth. And truth has to do with honesty, reliability, trustworthiness, and integrity. Integrity. And this fruit, it contrasts with what he said earlier, right? In Ephesians, when he kind of depicted the old nature, the dark nature, as being hypocritical, dishonest, deceptive, false. And now he says, but you, none of that should be in you, because all that is dark. But if you're going to put something on, he says this, put on truth, all truth. Put it on, all truth. So we keep these things in mind, because when it comes to that third point, truth, it has to do with what? It has to do with you. So when you look at these three points, all goodness pertains primarily to our relationship to others. When we look at righteousness, it kind of pertains to our relationship with God. When we look at truth, it very much depends with your own character. Having the truth and all truth in you. So goodness to others, righteousness with God, and the truth is in me. All these things represent the qualities of God, because he is all that, good, righteous, and truth. And now, so are you. If you are in the light, Paul says, if you're walking as children of light, these are the effects. This should be the evidence. This should be the proof that you are a Christian, that you're walking what? You're walking in goodness, and you're walking in righteousness, and you're walking in all truth. This should be evident about your life. Because if someone doesn't see this, well, then there's something wrong with your Christianity. That a person comes to church every Sunday, that a person goes to Bible studies, that a person goes to ministries and do those things, that he tithes, that he gives offerings. Those things are good, and we should all do good. We should all do those things, because there are things that we ought to do. But here Paul says, but this is evidence right here. This is proof. This is proof that you are who you claim you are. So if you claim that you are a child of the light in the Lord, and that you are walking in light, well, then there should be some proof there. You should be exemplifying what? You should be exemplifying some fruit. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. And if none of this is visible in your life, well, then there's something wrong. Very much like Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, when he spoke about the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit. If our lives, day after day, aren't producing, because we're all into what? We're all into produce business. We're in the business of producing fruit producers. But if we're not producing nothing day after day after day, well, then there's something wrong. Because remember, I spoke earlier, the light has this intent to make you healthy. But it is a healthy tree, a good tree that produces the good fruit. But if that tree is producing no fruit whatsoever, there's something wrong with that tree. There's something wrong with the tree. But this right here, this should be an evidence, some proof that you are who you claim to be, a child of light. So we keep these things in mind, that the fruit of the light involves these three qualities, three supreme qualities. And without the specific fruit, there's no evidence of the life of God in you. No evidence. And then from there, from verses 8 and 9, it brings us to verse 10. And verse 10, in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, this right here, verse 10, is kind of like the principle. It's the principle of verses 8 and 9. After you read 8 and 9, you come, okay, here's the bottom line. So what's the bottom line? That you find what pleases the Lord. So you go to 8, and it says, For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the Lord, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And the bottom line is, the principle is, because you're trying to learn. You're trying to find out what it is that pleases the Lord. That's what we're trying to do. Every single day, is my life pleasing to God? Remember the transfiguration when Christ went up the mountain and he was transfigured? And then the apostles, Peter, James, John, they heard a voice come out of the cloud. And the voice said, behold my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Everything that Jesus did pleased the Lord. Even Jesus and all the gospels, he constantly says, my food is to do the will of God. That was his whole intent, to do the will of God, to please God. And here Paul calling us the children of light, that we're producing this fruit of goodness and righteousness and truth. And he says, and the whole point, because we're trying to find out what pleases the Lord. That right there, that is the royal standard. That is the number one rule. Every single day, in every case, in every situation, are you finding out what pleases the Lord? Is your conduct pleasing the Lord? Because that's what it's all about as a Christian. It's not what pleases you. It's not what pleases others. It's firstly what pleases God. And then what pleases others. But first, is it pleasing to God? Trying to learn what is pleasing to God. So the Christian life, just as every other kind of life, it's only healthy when it's growing and thriving. It's pleasing. When it's pleasing. So according to Paul, our Christian walk as children of light should be focused on continually trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Again, the standard. The standard. So if we're obedient to our true high calling, because we have a high calling. It's not a low calling. It's not a medium calling. No, God's calling is the highest calling. So if we're true to our high calling, what we currently know, if we're true to what we currently know, to our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the will of the Lord, if we're true to that, then we should be increasing and deepening in Christ, in our knowledge of him. If we're truly true to that, we should. If we remain faithful to the light of his truth, then we're given more light. But the little light I have, the little light I might have today, if I'm true to just a small portion of light, if I'm true to that, and I hold fast to that, and I apply that to my life, then it will deepen my relationship with God, and God will give me more light. But I need to be true to what I know of Christ Jesus, what I've heard of Christ, to what he is to me, what he is to you. I need to hold on to that. And you hold on to that, and God will give you more. But you need to be true to what he's given you already. Don't ask for more if you have some and you're doing nothing with it. You don't even comprehend it. No. Be true to the knowledge of Christ, to what you already have. Live up to that. So this, what is it that pleases a God? And there's many verses, and my time is going really fast here, but what is it that pleases, that please God? That this word here, trying to learn, because in this, in my Bible it says, trying to learn what is pleasing to God. This is these three words, trying to learn, they come from one Greek word, and the one Greek word is dokimazo. Dokimazo. Dokimazo means just trying to learn. That's the word that Paul used in his writing. Dokimazo. Try to learn. Try to learn. And it carries the idea of this. It carries the idea of you proving or testing or examining yourself. Prove to yourself. Test yourself. Examine yourself. Are you living your life in a way that is pleasing to God? That's the big test. That's the big test. Examine, test everything in your Christian life. Examine everything in your Christian life, Paul is saying, to see if you are truly pleasing God. That's what he means when he says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Oh, test your life. Check yourself. Examine yourself. Prove it to yourself. Are you really pleasing the Lord? Because that's the whole point. If you're walking in the light, are you truly walking in the light? Oh, where's the evidence? Where's the examination? Because Paul gives it to you right here. He says, prove it. Prove it. Prove that you are who you claim you are. And you can only do that if you begin to examine your own life. Am I really doing day after day what is pleasing to the Lord? Doing the will of the Father? Is that what I'm doing? So this dikimazo, it carries the idea of proving, testing, or examining. It's kind of similar to what we see in Romans. Can you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2? See, the same idea here in Romans. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then here we go. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So here we get an idea of what Paul is saying. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you renew your mind, Paul says, if you renew your mind, where? In the light of God's word, because this is where the renewing takes place, in the Bible, in the scriptures. You renew your mind here, and if you renew your mind, then you will be able to test, to examine yourself, to prove to yourself what? You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. You will know. You should know. If you're reading the scriptures, you should know what God's will is. But if you're not reading the scriptures, you'll have no idea what God's will is for your life. None. Because when I read the scriptures, I come across verses every time, and I know this right here, this is what pleases the Lord. If I do this, he is pleased. If I don't do that, he is not pleased. I know when I'm in darkness, because when I'm in darkness, I sin, and I immediately know, because the Spirit convicts me, that I did something I should not be doing, and that I am in darkness. That is not good. Immediately, he comes, and he convicts you, and you know this is not pleasing to God. I know that when I sin, it is not pleasing to God, because the Holy Spirit immediately lets me know, this is not good. This is not where you ought to be. This is not what you ought to be doing. This is darkness. This is you participating in dark deeds where you were told already, brother, that you should not be there. You should not. But here Paul says, be transformed. Renew your mind. Renew your mind, and then, because you're renewing your mind, then you'll be able to test, and you'll be able to approve what the will of God is. But if there's no renewal going on in the light of God's word, I said, you're not going to be able to test and approve God's will. You can't. You've got to be. We've got to be in God's word. That's the only way. Here's the thing about the Jews. The Jewish faithful, they knew God's will. When you go back to the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, even today, the Jewish faithful, they know God's will. They know God's will, and they know the things that are truly essential in life because they have been taught. They have been taught how? They have been taught according to the law, according to the law of Moses, according to the Torah. So they know what is good. They know what is righteous to them. They know what is truth according to the law of Moses. They know that. But here's the difference between the Jews and the Christians. We know what is good. We know what is righteous. And we know what is truth. Why? Not because we have been taught about that in the law. No, because we have been taught about that in Christ. We have learned Christ. We have been taught in Christ. We have heard Christ. That's why we are. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do what pleases God. Because our teaching, our doctrines are vastly different now. They were taught in the law, and we were taught in Christ. They heard the law. They heard Moses. We heard Jesus. We heard him. We were taught in him. We read him. We know him. We heard him. Every time we read the scriptures, we hear Christ. Remember when Christ was, when he was resurrected, and two men were walking back to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared to these two disciples? And Jesus appeared to them, and he opened the scriptures to them. He opened up their minds to understanding. He did that. But in there, he says this. He says, these scriptures, the Old Testament, he said, they speak of me. And then Jesus says something. He says something to the effect of he began to speak of himself. In other words, Jesus himself was talking to these two men about himself. Jesus was teaching him about himself, not about anybody else, but about him. He became his own teaching subject. This is what it is about Christ. We learn him. Why? Because he is the grand subject of the whole Bible. There's no one else to learn in the Bible. We learn about the Father, yes, about the Spirit, but we know about the Father and the Spirit because we look at the life of Christ. We learn Christ. I learn Christ, and I know the Father, and I know the Spirit because I heard him. I hear him in the scriptures every time I read the scriptures, as if Christ himself was speaking to me about who? About him. Because that's what the scriptures do. They speak of him. He speaks of himself. He came to teach people about himself. I am. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the water. I am all those things. He was the grand subject of the whole Bible. So we're trying to learn what pleases God. So you see, so what pleases God, Andy? Because we already read many things here in Ephesians, what pleases God. And as I'm running out of time, let me say this. Let me go over some things real fast. And just follow, because we learned all these things in Ephesians. So let me share. If you want to know what pleases God, here I'm going to go through some things that please God. From chapter 4 in Ephesians, he says, Paul says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That pleases God. Walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. That pleases God. It pleases God. It said, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That pleases God. It pleases God. You go to verses 14 and 15. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. That pleases God. We're no longer children tossed about. And yes, we're no longer like that. That is pleasing to God. Don't be like that. You're children of the light. As children of the light, you shouldn't be tossed around by every doctrine of man. No. No. It pleases God when you're not tossed around like that. It pleases God when you speak the truth in love and when you grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. That pleases God. And then in verses 17 and 19, we read 17 and 19 already, verses 17, 18, and 19. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. That pleases God. Don't walk like you used to walk when you were a Gentile in darkness. Don't walk like that. If you don't walk like that, that pleases God. That pleases God. And then in verse 13 says, that you attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians 4, chapter 13. Again, it pleases God. You can go to chapter 4 alone, and you can find all these things, and then you can realize to yourself, I know what pleases God. I know. But that's what Paul says right there. It says, examine yourself. Find out. Find out what it is that pleases God. But Paul says, but it's right there. He says, I've given it all to you. All the things that you need to know, they're right there in the light of the scriptures. But if you never read the scriptures, you'll never know what it is that pleases God. Unless your mind is being renewed. How? By the word. And when your mind is being renewed, then you will know what the will of God is. Remember that? Even in Thessalonians, Paul says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you be made holy, that you abstain from all immorality. He says, that is the will of God. You flee immorality. That is the will of God. Those things please God. So when we go back to the verse, and we see trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, we should know. I know. That's why I know. When I sin, I know. I know that I did wrong. I know that I did something that's not pleasing to God. How do I know I did something that's not pleasing to God? Because I know what pleases him. And what I just did does not. And because I'm a child of light and I went to darkness, the light was very quick to condemn me. That does not belong to you. Put aside those things. No longer carouse in those things. But be a child of light. And know what pleases God. We can't be children of the light and not even know what pleases our Father. We can't. We can't do that. So as I bring it to a close, as I'm running out of time here, we walk. We walk as children of light, as members of the one body of Christ. That pleases God, that we walk in unity as one body, one faith, one spirit. All those things, that we do those things, that we're faithful to those things, that is pleasing to God. As children of light and as members of one body, growing together corporately as a church. Because that's how we grow together as a church. But not only are we to grow together corporately as a church, but we're to grow individually. What? As a saint. As a saint, I have the responsibility to grow. As part of the body, I have the same responsibility to grow. We grow together and we grow individually, but we grow. And we grow because that is pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God when we stay a baby saint, a baby Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, not knowing too much. No, that's not pleasing to God. That should not be acceptable to you. It shouldn't be acceptable to the church. We don't want a church full of baby Christians. No, we want a church of men and women who are being made mature in Christ, growing in the grace and the knowledge and the truth of Christ. Every day just growing and growing and growing. So I'll leave it at that. Remember, this is our calling. It is our great calling. It is a high calling. And the standard is high. God doesn't give you a low bar. He will never give us a low bar. He will always give us a high bar. But he gives us the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit to enable us, to empower us, to do the things that God wants us to do. Without the Holy Spirit, I can't walk in the light. I can't produce the goodness and the righteousness and the truth. I can't do any of that. I rely on the Holy Spirit to help me, to enable me, to empower us. We all do. Without Him, we can't do nothing. So this we can do. We can do why? Because we believe. We believe that we are children of light, and we believe that the Holy Spirit has taken up His residence in us. He lives in us, He abides in us, and He empowers us, and He leads us, He guides us, He teaches us, He trains us, He does all these things. But what do we need to do? Keep our eyes, keep our hearts, keep our minds in the light of God's Word. And He'll do the rest. But we have to be faithful to Him. If we're faithful to God, He'll be faithful to us. Believe. Believe that you are a child of light. Believe that you are light in Christ. Amen? Let me close in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this message. We pray that as we leave, Lord, that we will leave believing absolutely, Father, that we are children of light.